Greatest country in the world?
Why is it
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And you got you, sorority girl. Just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. One of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you, nonetheless, are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Sure used to be. You stood up for what was right. Fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chests. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured disease early, cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars. Acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Well, good evening, everybody. Let's see how this goes. Of course, you have heard my voice before, but my name is Loki King. I'm usually the producer that's behind the scenes. But tonight, it's a special edition. Of course, Cal and Issa were both crazy enough to actually allow me to have the reins of the show tonight. Cal is dealing with some issues, and of course, with this tax season and everything else right around the corner, Issa is dealing with that. So they've actually let me up in the driver's seat instead of the back of the bus behind the scenes tonight. So it's going to be an awesome show, and here to help me out tonight, I have some very unique guests with me. We'll see how this goes. The first guest I have with me, of course, is one of our radio networks that we actually broadcast on. She is the co-founder of Living Room Conversations, as well as, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the president of actually Coffee Party USA Network. Welcome, Debbie Lynn.
Thank you, Loki.
Loki, yeah.
Great to be with you tonight on this Super Tuesday.
You know, it's going to be a fun show. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Not sure where it's going to go, but we'll see. Because even with Cal and Issa, we start out in one direction, and of course, we always end up going south somewhere along the line. But also in my co-pilot seat tonight, I'm usually actually in his. Sometimes I get more attention than what he actually does, which frustrates him at times, but I have a good friend of mine, Robert, in the co-pilot seat with me.
This is a little bit unusual for me being over here. Normally, I'm used to being in control of things, but tonight I got to let you kind of run in, huh?
You do, and that's going to be a real scary thought. Hopefully, we can actually make it through this evening. Tonight, this was actually a show that was just thrown together at the very last minute. Sometimes those are the best shows and conversations to have. But we're going to be actually talking about what's going on with it being Super Tuesday. And Debbie Lynn, you're actually watching the stats for us tonight, I think. Is that correct?
I am. Right now, I've got stats up online. I'm looking at the TV screen. Projected winners in 10 of the 12 contests are Hillary Clinton on one side and Donald Trump on the other. However, just happening in Vermont right now, they're saying it's too close to call between Trump and Kasich. So with 1% of the vote in, we're going to wait and see what happens in Vermont.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. With that, I have my own personal opinions. Perfect one I saw today. It was kind of a joke, but I had to actually laugh with it because I do follow the music industry, being a radio announcer and a DJ and everything else. But it said that Donald Trump was actually Kanye West for the white people. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. But a couple things that we got going on tonight, folks. If you're a loyal listener and been following us for a while, our website has went through a couple different changes. You're going to see a brand new chat room up on the website that you can actually chat with us and have some fun there. And if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, Coffee Party USA Radio Network, there's a chat room there as well. The call-in number, if you would like to call in and voice your opinion, we don't mute anybody's mics unless you become very disrespectful, is 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495. Now, you're sitting back there in the background. I know it's not the seat that you normally sit in, but you actually have to speak up every once in a while and press buttons for me and everything else.
No, I'm good at pushing your buttons. Oh, I'm really good at doing that.
So what are your thoughts of this whole Super Tuesday? They call it presidential debates. I don't know if you can actually call what they do nowadays a debate. I think it's more of a press release than anything, because I don't see much debating ever going on.
Well, Super Tuesday is less about debating and more about the electoral process. But I think given what we've seen in the past this year with previous primaries, it's a given that Hillary Clinton is going to win. Whether she wins or not is irrelevant. She's going to win because they've proven already that they're going to cheat to make her win. So,
but in a sense, I hate to say it, but I actually want to see Donald Trump actually step up to the plate and maybe take this thing, because I've seen a lot of people out there claim that if he actually wins, they're going to move to another country like Alaska.
yeah. Oh, that ought to make certain people up there happy. Well, here's the thing. Donald Trump is never going to get the nod for the Republican Party. Even if he wins every single primary, they are not going to give him the nod, no matter what. So I don't even know why he's even in this race.
I don't know either. Debbie Lynn, had a comment.
I have some theories. I have some theories about that.
You do? Okay.
In fact, I had invited one of my friends to call in because he has sworn to me since last summer that Donald Trump is a plant to make sure Hillary wins the election. And so I don't know if that is true or not. I just think it's very interesting. And one of the things I've really been pondering today, listening to all the fear and the hysteria, I don't know what else to call it, both in the media and on social media, about the possibility of Trump winning the nomination and what that means for the GOP. And I really can't help but wonder if Citizens United did us a huge favor by breaking the hold of the parties over the electoral process. And I kind of feel like we have to break it so that we can fix it. And this is, I see this as a huge opportunity, and I'm perhaps a little less fearful than others.
You know, David Lynn, I actually agree with you on that. As a former Republican myself, one of the reasons I left that party was simply because the party has become so dysfunctional and so disjointed and no longer stands for the values of freedom that they used to stand for. And I just became so disgusted with them, I left. And you're right. That party needs to be broken down. It's kind of like they do in boot camp. When you go to boot camp, they break down the civilian that you were, and they crush it into oblivion, and they rebuild you into something that's worth fighting. That's a fighting machine for the country. And that's what needs to be done to the Republican Party. It needs to be crushed into oblivion and then rebuilt from the ground up.
To serve the citizens.
To serve the citizens, exactly. And until that happens, the Republican Party is just going to be another, a laughing stock, as far as I'm concerned.
You may have a point there. It's going to get scary, but I think there's something even more scary than that. There is a rumor or a feed going around that here in the Pacific Northwest, where we live in Oregon, there is a rumor going around that Justin Bieber might move to the state of Oregon.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Loki, let's just throw out a red herring there. I did want to ask you guys something, though. And my question is, you know, the former director of the CAA, Michael Hayes, I think it is, made some comments yesterday that should Donald Trump be elected, that the military was honor-bound to not follow directives that were unlawful or against the Constitution. Did you guys hear that? And if so, what did you think?
It you know, that is a actual rule and regulation, although I have never been a part of the military. I would love to be a part of the military, but I think it is actually something that they are actually supposed to do. If they are given an unlawful order, even if it's by the President of the United States, they are not required to follow it. Is that...
That is absolutely correct. Now, there are two ways of looking at that, though. As a veteran myself, I can tell you this is what I was taught when I was in the military. Now, granted, this was back when the Navy had wooden ships, but so things might have changed since then. But we were told that if we were given an unlawful order, the first thing we were supposed to do was go to our immediate superior and talk to our immediate superior about it to see if it was indeed unlawful. If the immediate superior said it's a lawful order and you still disagreed with it, you just kept going up the chain of command until you got to your commanding officer. And if the commanding officer says it's not unlawful, follow it. At that point, you follow it because you have to trust your chain of command. But if at any point any one of them says, yeah, this is an unlawful order, at that point, you're supposed to stop and not follow that order.
So I learned something new tonight. That's a good thing. But like I said, if you would like to actually call in and talk to us, you can call me a raving idiot or whatever you wish. Just be nice about it. You can actually call in 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495. If you do wish to speak with us, make sure you press the number 1 on your telephone keypad or your Skype keypad so that it'll put a little question mark up so that we actually know that you want to actually address something or have a comment or an insight, because you may have a little bit more of intelligence than myself. So feel free to do that. Just be respectful. So any new updates on what's going on there, Debbie Lynn?
Well, the polls have closed in a lot of states. So in Alabama, Georgia, Massachusetts, in Tennessee, Vermont and Virginia. The polls are all closed, and there's a lot of predictions with very little of the vote count coming in. Right now, Virginia is called for Hillary. Vermont is called for Bernie Sanders. Donald Trump is currently leading in both of those states. In Tennessee, Hillary is predicted to be the winner. Donald Trump for the Democrats, Donald Trump for the Republicans. In Massachusetts, it's being called for Hillary right now. And let me see how much, what percentage. There's right now, they don't have any of the Democratic votes counted up on the line yet. So, but Hillary and Donald are called. So they're doing this based on predictions, based on polls. I would say the same thing right now. It looks like we've got about 5% of the vote counted in Georgia. It's going to go for Hillary and for Donald Trump. And in Alabama, looks like we have none of the votes counted yet, and we've gotten Hillary and Donald as the winners there as well. So more to come as we go through the evening. We'll keep you guys updated here. But we'd really love to talk with folks. I think the questions that I really have are, what's the future like? You know, if we end up with a President Hillary or a President, I should say President Clinton or President Trump, to be fair, is that the direction you think we're headed in, or do you think Sanders still stands a chance?
You know,
I would love to hear what other people think.
That is a good question, and I do know that we actually have a listener that may have a question or a comment for us. So we're going to go ahead and bring their life mic live, if I can talk, and see what they may have to share. Listener.
Hey, Kevin, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I have to admit, I didn't know much about Sanders when he first started elected or started running. But I have to say I was impressed. I think even though I like him as a person, it doesn't look like he's in the window. I think the Democratic Party is going to need to coalesce around Hillary, which a lot of people throw up a little bit of a tantrum about. I don't think it's really going to be that big of a problem for the Democratic Party. I think Sanders and Hillary are much more aligned than the GOP primary runners, right? But my question, actually, Debbie Lynn, you're talking about futurism and kind of what comes next. I don't even know if I too much care about this election. I think if you have a Trump versus Hillary runoff, right, I think Hillary's going to win hands down. But the real question to me is Trump is not really – Trump is a big deal because of his personality – but Trump represents something much, much bigger than just himself, right? I think people kind of want to focus on him as a personality, but in reality, he's representing something that has been growing in American politics for at least the last decade, right? And this is his idea of being afraid, right? Fear. Fear of this otherness, much like you saw on – really hate the fact that you got big comparisons to Nazi Germany, but much like we saw with the rise of fascism in Germany, this fear of the outside, of the economics are working against the lower classes, that there's other people to blame for this, that fear, that resentfulness, that's not going away. Trump is just a symptom. So what comes next, right? Where's the next Trump going to come from? I don't think this is the end, even if Trump doesn't get the election.
Well, I think that's so. I'm gonna kind of do a little bit of a sidebar here for a second, and just one of the other things that Donald Trump has reminded me of. And you know, first of all, yes, he's a big celebrity entertainer. He has spent 30 plus years building, in maybe 40 years, building up this image of what the name Trump means in people's minds. And the substance behind it appears to be irrelevant. In Italy, they elected a celebrity whose last name is Berlusconi, who became known for his bunga bunga parties with teenage girls.
Yes.
and the country ended up horribly embarrassed. How he got elected is very similar by his big personality that appealed to the public of, like, let's have a party. You know, Donald Trump is obviously appealing to a different emotion here. But it did not end well for Italy. And I wish that we Americans could learn from that type of example. Trump in and of himself is, he appears to be very narcissistic. You know, I'm not a psychologist. I can't do that diagnosis. But you know, he's running the same story that he ran in real estate in the 70s, that he ran in the casinos, and in building and developing, and then in the university thing now, and now he's running on the American electorate. It's the same story, but you just kind of substitute a different target or market, if you will. And I wish more people could see that, could kind of peel behind the curtain and look to see what is really there. Because we all know that brands are only as good as the promises that they fill. And our belief in them makes them so. So once we, the people, stop believing in Trump, will we, the people, return to sanity so that we stop putting the journalists in a pen at political rallies and making fun of them and inciting the crowd to hurt them and distrust them? I mean, this whole thing of mob control is just, I'm confused. I'm confused why this works, truly.
One of the things you touch upon there, and it's kind of a concern I have with this. I have to admit, I'm not really in agreement that the GOP political party needs to be broken down and built back up. And here's why: is that things that are broken don't really get put back together very well, right? So you mentioned Italy, right? Well, that politician comes from the Lega Nord. And I may be butchering that, political party, which is basically the right-wing populist/fascist party of Italy right now. And here's the thing, they're still there, right? They are still a political force within that country. So my big worry is, yeah, the GOP political party as we know today may break, and I think there's a lot of indication that they are kind of going through a civil unrest at the moment, and that you could very well have the GOP party split. But the problem is that you now have a split GOP party, and you don't have, you know, you don't have, like, one great thing now, right? You have two smaller divisions, and one of those divisions is very close to fascism, and that is truly terrifying. And so to go down that path, I don't know if there is a scenario in which that is truly a good thing, even for a Republican or a conservative within this country. I think it's something to be terrified of.
Well, Robert, who's with us, is a former Republican who left because the party left out his sense of freedom. Robert, are you kind of seeing the same thing that Kevin's describing?
I've been saying that for years, in fact. I've been telling people that the Republican Party is leaning towards fascism. I'm one of those people. I call it as I see it, and I always tell people that the symbol that was used in Germany for fascism was the swastika, which is a stylized cross. And all they've done is they just changed the cross, and they're now using the Christian cross as their symbol. But fascism is fascism is fascism, no matter what symbol you use. And they've hijacked the nation's largest religion in order to accomplish their goals of brainwashing people into believing that they are a political system that is the future of America. And they're basically fascism with a happy face is what they are, in based on my own observations of the direction that particular party is headed. And when I saw them heading in that direction, now this was back in the 1980s when I left the Republican Party.
Wait. 1980s, you were what, 52 then?
You know, I'm in the same room with you. I can hurt you. But But I left them back then because I saw them tending towards fascism at that point, and that's when I said enough of this, and so I jumped ship and went with another political party that more matches my ideals and what I believe freedom represents, or rather represents freedom, I should say.
Because freedom is freedom, right?
Yes.
I think we did a living room conversation about that. Where do we want to go next?
Well, I mean, my personal opinion, do I believe Trump is the right candidate to be running? From a business aspect, if you were to consider the United States actually a business, I think he would probably do relatively well. I mean, but is he the right person to be representing us? I don't think so. But I personally don't think that Hillary Clinton is the right individual to be representing us. But we have allowed it to get so far out of control and allowed the mainstream media to feed the hate, the fear, and actually the dumbing down of our society, that I'm not sure what direction or what it's actually going to take to improve us. Like the opening of this show states, the United States used to be number one in a lot of things, from education to actually fighting wars that meant something, and there was a reason behind having the war.
And an intention to win.
But now, I mean, it seems like the only thing we're really good at is incarcerating our citizens of the United States. So what is it going to take to change?
But let's face it, we are really good at that.
Yes. I mean,
nobody knows how to incarcerate their citizens like we do. I mean, even the Chinese can't do it as well as we can.
But how many parties do we actually have that run in an election process? I know we hear...
There are 36 political parties in the United States.
And we hear about how many of them, when they have their news press releases or debates, as you want to call them, we hear, what, from two?
Yeah, we hear only two.
Two or three?
We hear two, right.
You know,
two that all represent the same corporate interests, you know.
The last time we had a presidential debate that involved three parties was when Ronald Reagan was running for president. John Anderson was running as an independent against Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And the networks didn't want to include John Anderson in the debates. And Ronald Reagan stood up and he said, well, if you're not going to include John Anderson, you're not going to include me. He said, because this is America, and in America, we let everybody's voice be heard. And if John Anderson wants to be in a debate with me and Jimmy Carter, then that's the way it's going to be. Otherwise, I'm not going to show up because I'm not going to live in a country that behaves like that. And that was the last time that was ever done. No president or no presidential candidate, I should say, since then has allowed third parties to be involved in any of the debates.
When was Ross Perot in?
Ross Perot, when was Ross Perot? I can't remember that one.
I thought he was in...
That's a flash from the past, isn't it?
Clinton time period.
Yeah, but Ross Perot, the difference there was Ross Perot bought his way in. And that's where the difference was. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually earn his position in the debates. He actually paid to get into those.
Yeah, but aren't our current candidates, you know, bought and paid for to be where they're at now?
Well, in many respects, that is correct. But I think what they're trying to say, though, is that that Ross Perot was allowed into the debates against the wishes of the mainstream media, and but after the fact, we found out that he actually paid his way into those. So.
But we are sitting in a place, and I watch a lot of the independent media sources and the alternative media sources that can actually be trusted to a certain extent as long as they do their research. there's a big contention going on that no matter what actually happens in this election, Hillary Clinton is already going to get it, because two or three of them actually reported that back when Obama was actually running and she was going to run up against him, that she was actually promised to have the presidency if she wouldn't run against President Obama at that time.
You know, it's almost as if we're in the phase of our country's development where we're going through all the firsts. You know, because we've had white men as president all the way up until Mr. Obama. And so now we're going through our series of firsts, our first black president. Okay, that's great. And don't get me wrong, I am proud of America for electing a black man finally. We finally got past that hurdle, and we don't have to hear about it anymore. Okay, but now we got to have the first woman president, okay? And so Hillary is going to be given the nod for that. And then who knows what the next one is. The next one's going to be the first gay president, and then the first Latino president, and, you know, and maybe dare I say, the first Buddhist president, you know.
Oh, by the way, the poll just closed in Arkansas, and they are projecting Hillary Clinton to win Arkansas on the Democratic side.
Oh, gee, now there's
a surprise. No projection for...
Wow.
No projection for the GOP yet.
Well, just as a reminder, and Kevin, just in case you didn't know, your mic is still live. You can actually chat with us at any point that you wish. But if there are any other listeners or callers out there that would like to call in, you can do so by calling 646-929-2495. That's
646-929-2495,
and make sure you press 1 so that we actually know you want to talk to us. We have a few minutes.
You know, there's another race that here that's pretty tight. There's a couple of races that are pretty tight. Oklahoma is showing 3% reporting. Clinton's at 49%. Sanders is at 44%. In Massachusetts, there's a 3-point difference. Clinton leading with 1% of the vote counted. Some interesting things to watch there. Clinton is projected to win both of those. But Massachusetts, I know Sanders was trying to win. And we'll see how that progresses as the night moves on.
Well, it should be interesting to see how these turn out tonight.
Yeah, no surprise that Cruz is winning Texas. He was projected to win that. And the Virginia race, although not as close as we thought it might be, Trump is leading Rubio by 7 points, and in Vermont, Trump is leading Kasich by 5.
So, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Kasich did some
heavy campaigning in Vermont and Alaska, actually. I was listening to a story about that yesterday.
I have a feeling that when it comes time to for the Republican National Convention, I have a feeling they're gonna pull a Ron Paul, or pull the same thing they pulled on Ron Paul in the last election cycle, when delegates were coming to the Republican National Convention to give their votes for Ron Paul. They were told, if you're going to give your delegates for Ron Paul, do not show up to the convention. If you show up to the convention, we will not allow you to give your votes for Ron Paul. And I have a feeling that's what's going to end up happening with Trump. They're just going to flat out say, if you're going to give your delegates to Trump, don't bother showing up. We're not going to accept them.
So you think the GOP is going to go for a brokered convention regardless of how many delegates Trump racks up?
Yeah, because he doesn't, let's face it, Donald Trump does not represent the values of the Republican Party. He is, as much as I hate to use the term, he's a rhino. He's a Republican in name only. He doesn't really represent any of their values. He's not by any means conservative. He's not hardcore religious. He's not a fascist. He's not, you know, he's not anything that the Republicans value.
You don't think he qualifies as a fiscal conservative?
No, he qualifies as a businessman. The one thing that can be said about Donald Trump is that he is the epitome of a businessman. There is nothing that he can do better, or nothing that he does better than conduct business. Obviously, because he's one of the biggest and wealthiest people in this nation. When it comes to fiscal responsibility, I think he has the potential to do a great job for this country. Outside of that, the man's worthless. I mean, plain and simply, he has nothing to offer the country other than his potential to bring us back in good standing fiscally. I'm sorry, I don't know if that actually answered your question. So,
thank you, Kevin, because I was going to do it if you weren't. Go ahead.
So first of all, I think it's obvious, right? I despise Trump. But I want to kind of push back on you guys on a couple of fronts. One, despite the national media being pretty much rallied against Trump, I mean, you saw that more than anything at the actual Fox debate, right, where they targeted Trump pretty heavily, and there's kind of a rift between Trump and Fox News to this day. Despite the fact that the GOP has completely aligned against Trump, the fact remains, Trump, as you are seeing unfold before you, is leading the GOP party as far as elections go, right? So this idea that mainstream media and that the political parties completely control the election, I think it's something we like to tell ourselves, but how true that actually is, I think can start being called into question. Not saying that there's nothing to be concerned about there, but I think we may need a paradigm shift as far as what's actually happening. So in the case of Ron Paul not getting his delegates, I also don't think that's going to happen here either. And the fact is that you don't see Speaker Boehner anymore, right? And that's kind of my evidence for that. The fact is that the people that are electing Trump are actually within the GOP party. They may not be GOP leadership. They may not have the foresight that GOP leadership does, because I think they are at the moment where they just prefer to burn it all down as opposed to work with the current process. But I'm willing to put money down that if Trump, like, handily wins the number of delegates he needs, that the GOP will give him the nomination, even if GOP leadership knows it's not going to go well. And that's kind of going back to this thing that the people that support Trump are already within the party, and they have real power. You don't see as much, I think, at the national level, but I think at the local level, you start looking at where the Americans for Prosperity has been working, you start where they've been funneling resources for the kind of the shadow GOP, as I think of them. I think you actually have that support there. I think there would be you talk about a true uprising within the GOP party if Donald Trump wins the actual primaries but doesn't get the nomination. I think that would be more cataclysmic than even Trump getting the nod for the primary.
So the Republican Party is in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah, they're quite literally screwed. And my real question, and I can't remember their names off the top of my head, I would love to have a conversation with the head of the RNC and Rupert Murdoch as well, and just have them in a private room. And I would love to know if they are self-aware enough to realize that this is something that they have made. Right? This is a situation in American politics and for the GOP party and conservative movement that they have made for themselves. I wonder, I'm really curious that they, kind of like in their heart of hearts, that they realize that has happened. That's really the question that I would love to ask them.
Yeah, and just give me a second here, Kevin, and we will get to that. But we have a couple other listeners that I know have questions and comments. But just so that I don't get in trouble with my hosts that actually...
It's okay. You're fine.
No, my mic is dead.
No, your mic is fine. I can hear you.
We
just
can
fine.
Hear you, Loki.
Okay, I just can't hear myself. Just so that I don't get in trouble with the people that run the stream, I need to play a quick commercial. So we'll be back in about 30 seconds, and we'll open up some more mics for some more discussion.
Issa Hodge, an American Muslim. Common Cap, an Irish Catholic. Listen to their titanic clash each Tuesday night on A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Broadcast on wakeupinmerica.com, Journalistic Revolution Radio, and Coffee Party USA Radio Network.
Yes, that is right, folks. You are actually listening to what is supposed to be A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America, but it's actually a special edition. The producer kicked him out of the studio tonight and stepped out from behind the curtain and brought in his own guest. Joining me on the line tonight in the studio, of course, is my good friend Robert, the egotistical Buddhist himself, and a good friend that I have gotten to know over the last few months and had some wonderful discussions with her, the president of Coffee Party USA, as well as the co-founder of Living Room Conversations, Debbie Lynn. So we've been having a wonderful discussion on this Super Tuesday, talking about what's going on, where this country is headed. Are we right or wrong?
Where this country is headed? Oh, I've got opinions on that one.
Yeah. Well, and I was laughing too, because this is supposed to be a Catholic and a Muslim, and I'm thinking, okay, we've got a Buddhist. I'm not sure what Loki is, but I'm kind of this New Age spiritual crossover thing. I think, you know,
if I had my way, I'd be following. If I had my way, I'd be following the unicorns and rainbows and everything else. But we do have another caller on the line that I'm going to actually open up their mic. Brand new glasses, and I can't see a gosh darn thing. So, caller, you are actually live with us. Last four digits of your phone number look like 2785.
Okay, this is Jack Golding.
Hey, Jack.
What's on your mind tonight,
Jack?
I want to make this comment, and then I want to go on, and then I'm going to go off and see the Bulls game.
Okay.
All right. The whole mistake is that you need a militant. I consider myself a militant moderate. And I'm not.
Yay for militant
correct.
Moderate.
A militant moderate. Yeah. And what I'd like to say is that Trump and most of the Republicans, except possibly for Kasich. Well, Kasich is the man that considered most dangerous for the Democrats. I think he's the most Kasich. He's the adult among the five in there, and competing, I think. Okay, I say he governed from love, not people Trump and Rubio and Cruz especially are governing from fear and anger. They're pushing the people to vote. They're responding to people that are fear and anger. Response from love, that would be more of the militant moderates. You don't have to be politically correct to get along with that. I think it shouldn't be afraid to challenge the Wall Street, Wall Street combination of and the CU consequent Citizens United should be challenged. You can challenge the big boys at say the Koch brothers and the and Karl Rove and those guys.
Well, we've got a couple of candidates who are certainly doing that, Jack, between Trump and Sanders. We've got people who are calling out the corruption in our system.
There is corruption in the system, and, mm-hmm. and Trump is not the answer. and
there's one thing that we can all agree on.
Okay, now I'm going to say definition of a true conservative. I would say that a true conservative is for slow progress. All the others are want for turning the clock back. Now, true conservatism, the closest you can come to that is Kasich. Again, mm-hmm. It would be, you want slow progress. Maybe he might be for immigration reform.
You know, I agree with you to some certain degree there, Jack. I can't say that I agree with everything, but that's what makes us humans. We are not robots and everything else, but we do have some other callers on the line that have questions and comments, so we're going to actually have to go to them. So if you would like to ask another question, feel
free. Thank you very much for my opinion. Your name is what?
I'm Loki, and you are more than welcome to have your opinion and your voice heard right here on AMAC Radio and Coffee Party USA Radio Network. So thank you for joining the conversation tonight, Jack.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
I love Jack. When I used to co-host with Janine, Jack called in and talked to us almost every week. So it's good to hear your voice again, Jack. I did want to do a quick update on Oklahoma and Massachusetts. Oklahoma, with 14% of the count in, precinct reporting, Sanders has pulled ahead of Clinton, 49% to 43%. And Massachusetts is still way too close to call. It was in the Clinton column, and then it was in the Sanders column, and now it's back in the Clinton column, 7% of the vote, and it's still 51 to 48.
Just as long as they don't have to bring out the coin again. I still say they used...
Yeah, that's a weighted coin. There's no doubt about that.
It was a weighted coin or a two-headed coin. I don't know. But
I mean, let's face it.
Well, and here's another new one. I'm sorry, guys, to interrupt, but there's another new one. Rubio right now is leading Trump in Arkansas. So I don't know how they have that decided with zero precincts recording, but they have it, 35 to 28%.
Really?
Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's interesting to see.
It looks like.
It's interesting to see tonight's show and how things are going. I would have never expected some of what I'm hearing being reported. So I'm surprised. Some of it, it's a no-brainer. I knew that it was probably going to happen that way. But this is a different style show for what we do here on this network. So this is actually really refreshing for me.
I have a theory on this whole thing.
You have a theory?
Yes.
That's scary.
Over the years, they've pretty much broken it down by county in each state, how people tend to vote in certain areas. So I have a feeling that what's going on with the major networks is they're telling the states, count this county first, this county second, this county third, because that keeps the race going back and forth, and people glued to their TV screens and watching those advertisements.
Well, it's all about the...
Hey, it's as good a theory as any.
I have to tell you, it was not that organized. There was a lot more chaos involved. Virginia looks like it's going to go to Trump. They got 80% of the vote, and he leads Rubio by 5 points. Oklahoma just switched over to Cruz, 32, to Trump, 31. And Cruz still has a big lead in Texas. So some interesting things happening down the line there with the GOP.
Now, some of these are so close that we might be looking at recount issues as well.
I'm okay with that.
Doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, it's good.
As long as they're not using the new math or Common Core, they have to use the old traditional method.
Yeah, well.
I did finally see a video of having that explained to me, so I kind of understand that why people make jokes about it. One of our other radio show hosts is in Colorado, who lives in Colorado, and he is caucusing tonight, and I have encouraged him to call in. So keep your eyes peeled for a 720 area code, Loki, because I would love to get Mark in here.
Yeah, it would
be live Colorado caucus action.
It would be awesome to have Mark join us on the conversation, and I know he's down there. Mm-hmm. He was excited about being there, and I know he's rallying. So we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully he can get away to give us a call. But I've never been to an actual live situation like that, so I don't know if they let you come and go or not. So hopefully he can figure something out.
You know, Loki.
Yeah, I was going to say that the thing he told us was that his priority is caucusing for his candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, and the radio show is not going to get in the way of that. So we're good.
Oh, yeah. We're always good with that. But you are listening to a special edition of A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. Drop the A, because we are no longer America. We are Marica. Until we can get some stuff straightened out. And you can always catch us every Tuesday night live from 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Normally with your host, Issa Hodge and Common Cal, the Muslim and Catholic. But tonight we're doing a special show where we're totally out of control. Luckily, I have my good friend Debbie Lynn helping me out, keeping me honest and on the right path. And then, of course, I just bring my other friend Robert along.
Yeah, they'd let anybody in your studio.
Yeah, along for the giggles. But we are getting...
Yeah, we need to talk about your security measures, by the way.
We are getting close to the top of the hour, and the races seem to be heating up one way or the other. It'll be real interesting. So at the top of the hour, we will be taking another station ID break. But until then, Kevin, you are still live. If you would like to step in here, make any comments, tell me I'm full of horse manure or whatever you want. So feel free to do that.
You know, Loki, one of the things that the gentleman brought up, I forgot his name already, the guy watching
Jack.
The Bulls game, Jack. Right. One
Jack.
Of the things that he brought up was leading with love. Now, it just so happens that this morning that was a topic of conversation over coffee that you and I were having.
You know, yes. And I actually had this conversation with Debbie Lynn as well earlier today, where our society is going in the wrong direction. And it may be a way to solve a lot of the problems that we're having is to get away from the fear, the hatred, and everything else, and actually see that we all have things in common.
You know, it's interesting because in Buddhism, we believe that all negativity has its roots in greed, hatred, and delusion, or ignorance is another word for delusion. The comment that I made to you this morning, you said, why is America like this? And I said, money, because money is made in hatred. There's no money to be made in love. There's, you and I, we spread love all over the place, and we're broke. Okay? I mean, we're barely making it. But you get those people out there spreading all this hatred and spreading all these lies and spreading all this negativity, and look at them. They're rich. They're running for president. I mean, they're doing well. Now, well, I know I'm oversimplifying it by saying that, because there's a lot more to it. It's a lot more complicated.
Well, no. You know, I hate to say it, but the one thing that Donald Trump can do and does well is he is a businessman. He knows how to catch people's attention and use the media to his benefit, to whether he looks good or bad. He knows how to use it to get that 5 minutes of fame or 15 minutes of fame or whatever he's looking for, mm-hmm. And do it on somebody else's dime. And that is, unfortunately, through the hatred and the racism and the different things that he's been doing, well, he's succeeding.
I want to comment here when you guys are ready.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, you know, just back to, we keep talking about fear, about him playing to our fears. And I think underneath greed is a fear of poverty, and underneath hatred is a fear of being rejected, or fear of something else. And so there's a lot of fear that's involved. And when we are afraid, we're willing to pay anything to be made safe again. And whereas if we are just loved and we are satisfied with our lives, there's very little drama in that. I wrote a piece recently that was on we posted on Coffee Party blog, and it got reposted at Huffington Post. And it was on victim identity, heroes, and villains. And there's big, big business in the victim, hero, villain storyline. Mm-hmm. And that's the narrative that we seem to find ourselves living in. And as I commented in my blog, you know, drama makes really good movies. It gets us all emotional, helps us get in touch with our human emotions. But it makes really, really lousy governance. Because if we have to have heroes and villains and victims in our governance, that means that we're always living in that drama, and it puts us kind of in that survivor mentality. And it's traumatic. The antidote for all of this, the shift that we all make, is to make sure that we are personally responsible and that we are co-creating our lives. We look for our coaches and look for our challengers, and we collaborate with each other instead of blame each other for what's happening. And I'm a big advocate for that.
Well, and I think that, I mean, I personally think that shows through some of the work that you actually do, where you're actually taking things back down to the basics, like your living room conversation organization and the shows that you do over there, Debbie Lynn. The concepts that mm-hmm. you use or utilize to get conversation started are not new concepts. They are, and they're common sense. But sometimes we have to get people to take a step back and go back down to the basics to really work through and problem solve a situation. And that's where the living room conversations actually really work. And it, I mean, every conversation mm-hmm. that I've been involved in with it, and one of the steps in there is, what did you walk away with, or what did you learn new? And it's always amazing when you can actually step back and take serious issues like the debates and everything else, and just step back and forget the labels of, oh, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Libertarian, I'm a Republican, and actually have a conversation about politics in general. We all have a lot more in common than what that label is. So it's just mm-hmm. amazing.
Well, those labels, I know labels are a big thing for you, that you have a problem with labels, and understandably so, because all a label does is it divides us. It's you know, I wear Izod, you wear Walmart. I wear, I drive a Maserati, you drive, beat up Dodge, whatever. Those labels do nothing but divide us and classify us in certain categories. And unfortunately, being human beings, everything has to have a label. That's just what we are, this kind of creature that we are.
Yeah, but labels do not belong on human beings.
That may or may not be. I don't know. But what I will say is that we can't live without them.
And with that,
but I think remembering that they're a tool and not a reality is key here. And it's the top of the hour, low-key, just in case you needed to do something.
Yes, it is top of the hour, so we need to actually take another station ID break, play a little commercials to pay the bills, and then I'm going to do a tribute out to Common Cal. So I'm going to play a couple commercials, and I'll be right back.
As a public service, we're going to do a quick check of your radio dial.
Most liberal of...
Yes. No. Who's it called today? I don't even know what that is. Okay, you're good. We can say without a doubt you're listening to the right station.
You're listening to AMAC Radio Network.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Horror stories belong around the campfire, not in the garage. Avoid your own automotive horror stories by making an appointment for scheduled maintenance or other necessary services with RC Auto Care. Whether you are fully restoring a classic, building a street rod, wanting a race car, or just needing maintenance completed on your mom-mobile, call RC Auto Care today at 269-762-7358 and let Cal or any of our other highly skilled professionals turn your horror story into a happy ending. RC Auto Care. We make dreams come true.
Always turns in the fastest time.
Giddy up, 409.
My four-speed dual quad positive traction,
409. Nothing can catch her, nothing can touch my 409.
And as always, we usually take a musical break to give you time to go to the restroom, grab a bite to eat, refresh in your drink. Sometimes that's an adult beverage, so you can actually put up with the Muslim and a Catholic. So I'm going to actually do that tonight. Cal actually usually picks out the songs that fit the topic. And the best one that I could find tonight for myself was not Confusion, but it's actually Life is a Highway. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Roads and these are the hands, the moves and beats.
Well, life is a highway or a box of chocolates, whichever way you want to look at it. And the Buddhist is messing with my headset again, and I can't hear squat.
Neither can I.
But you're actually listening to a special edition of Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America, where we're actually doing a Super Tuesday show. And, of course, as you can tell, I'm Loki. I'm usually the producer behind the scenes. But I actually took the driver's seat and am running the show tonight through the Muslim and the Catholic out of the studio for the night. But joining me to make me look important and special and actually like I know what the heck I'm talking about, I do have two very good friends of mine. Ladies first, of course, my good friend Debbie Lynn from Coffee Party USA Radio Network, as well as Living Room Conversations. And then, of course, in the back seat, back of the bus, where he actually most belongs most of the time, is my other friend, Robert, the egotistical boost. Nice to have both of you back on the air with me.
It's a pleasure to be here, as always. And you're doing a fantastic job. I want you to know that. This is a great show tonight.
Yes.
So
you're doing great, Loki. I do have just a couple of little updates here. Oklahoma has been called for Ted Cruz, not Donald Trump. And I missed calling it earlier, but Trump did get is the winner for sure in Virginia. They have about 86% of the votes in. He's pulling away, and in Arkansas, Trump is pulling away from Rubio. It's 32-30% now. It's still less than 1% of the vote there, so I'm holding out some hope. And Massachusetts is still too close to call on the Democratic side. Clinton leads, Sanders still 51-48% with 15% of the vote in. Back to you.
Back to me. This is a scary thought. It's going to be really interesting to see what actually happens. Is this what we're actually looking toward? And is anybody going to actually step out of the race in the near future? Or are these the candidates that are going to run till the end?
I think they're going to stay in. Right now, the only way, so this was a strategy. I was listening to NPR this morning, and the GOP strategist that came on, who was formerly, I forget which campaign, it's one of the campaigns that's out of it, but basically they said the only way right now to prevent Trump from winning is to have lots of other people stay in the race, because if everybody picks up, especially on a proportional, there's some proportional delegates, and then there's winner-take-all states. And so if, for instance, Rubio can win Florida and Kasich can win Ohio, those are winner-take-all states, and it would prevent Trump from getting enough delegates to get the nomination. And it was an interesting way to look at the strategy instead of, why don't you guys drop out so that we can all, you know, get behind one other candidate and do a head-to-head competition. They basically said, the momentum's in Trump's favor. The only way now to prevent a Trump nomination is for everybody to play defense. And I just found that to be pretty interesting.
You know, that may be a valid point. I'm trying to think, and it's scary because it's escaping me. But this whole thing of it reminds me of the old song, and it's a really old song. The Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler, you know, don't ever lay your cards down.
Know when to hold them.
Yeah, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And I don't think we're at the fold them stage yet. I think they're doing the right thing of everybody staying in and voicing their opinion and making a stance. But it's up to us as the general population or public or the people to actually do our research on these candidates and make very informative decisions and lifestyle choices, because they are going to affect at bare minimum, the next 4 years of what direction our nation's going to go.
the only direction this nation's going to go, regardless of who becomes the next president, is downward. We're in a downward spiral that is going to take a lot of work by a lot of people, and I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about your average Joe. They're going to have to get out from in front of their televisions, and they're going to have to start getting out there involved in local politics to start changing the direction this country is going in. It's not going to happen at the national level. It's going to happen at the local level and at the state level. That's the way we're going to fix things in this country. Go ahead. I know you want to say something.
That sounds like the political revolution that Bernie Sanders is calling for.
It could be. And Debbie Lynn, I just want you to check the board over here for me, or your board, not my board, because you can't see my board. But I did see that we have a new caller in there, and that is
Mark. Mark, would you hit one if you're in a place where you can talk? Because we would love to get an update from a caucus in Colorado. There he goes.
There we go. So let's go ahead and bring on another radio show host for Coffee Party USA Radio Network. Mark, how's it going tonight?
Yeah, hey, it's great. It's great. Mark Gilbert here calling from Lakewood, Colorado. I'm out actually attending Democratic caucus here. We had to be in line by 7 o'clock, but I think they were being a little lenient with us because it was a madhouse. Everybody's out exercising their democratic political rights tonight. And it was all of the parking lot for the school that they had was full. And then people were having to park at nearby locations and walk over. And the lines outside were crazy. The downstairs getting into the school was crazy. People are still being directed around the rooms. And even though it was supposed to start here about 7 o'clock Denver time, which was maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago, things are still sort of being gathered, and people are being directed into schoolrooms for the initial meeting. So I have nothing really to say what's happening here at this caucus, Democratic caucus, other than to say there is a fantastic turnout for at least this location. The traffic was crazy getting in here. The crowds in line getting in here were wild. People that I talked to in line, most of them were Bernie Sanders followers. So I think there's a lot of Bernie people here tonight. So it looks like it's going to be an exciting thing, and I'm probably going to have to run in a minute and get back into the room. I stepped out of the room I'm in with others just to step out of the hallway, and I told Debbie Lynn I'd try to call in. So not a whole lot to report, but other than a wild scene and lots of people out here voting tonight, or at least expressing their opinions at a caucus. Many people saying it's the first caucus they've been to. So exciting times here.
Excellent. And it's always a good thing to see that or to hear that people are out there getting involved and being part of the process, because that's one of the issues that we're facing in this country right now is the lackadaisical attitude of people of, my vote doesn't really matter. It doesn't. It's not that important. You know, somebody else's vote is going to be the one that decides anyway. It always frustrates me to hear people say that, because it's like, you don't seem to understand how this process works then, if that's what you think. So,
what's interesting for me, though, is that Colorado is a fairly liberal in terms of its voting policies, in terms of all primarily by mail. You know, everybody gets their ballot in the mail, and it is really none of the restraints on voting that you see in some of the other states. And what's interesting is that you're used to just voting easy there. So this, you have to actually, for a caucus, come out and actually at night when you've been doing the other things during the day, get in with large crowds of people, you know, listening to the talks and things like that. It does take a little bit of effort. And sometimes I think we can get spoiled by the, you know, just sitting back and doing things in an easy standpoint. But what I'm really optimistic is the fact that so many people are out here tonight is just recognizing the fact that people are caring about this election. That I think so many people are, concerned about some of the candidates, and I really want to get out and make sure that their voice is heard in this election. So I think it's re-engaging the populace. That's the optimistic thing I'm taking.
Well, Mark, I just want to point out, given that I grew up in Colorado Springs, that all the Trump and other GOP supporters are in a different part of the state from you, which is why Colorado is a swing state this year.
Well, that's true, Debbie. Get in the Boulder area, which is the fairly Democratic area of the state, and but outside of that area of the Front Range, and you do get into very conservative areas, and it's a lot of the state is Republican. You're very right. Most of the western slope is, and you know it's a fairly progressive state on a lot of issues, but there are a lot of independents. I was reading some stats the other day that about talking about the caucuses, and I think there's a large percentage of people, I don't remember the numbers right off, that are independent in the state. Mm-hmm. And I know I registered as independent a number of years ago, and I think it became more important for me to voice in Democratic events, but. Yeah,
I hear you. That was like Colorado doesn't let you participate unless you're registered with a party. Is that accurate?
That is correct. There was some stuff that they were saying that would let you in and you could observe. And given the madhouse of getting it's not really kind of anybody really checking. That might occur later, but pretty much they were like, what's your precinct number and get you to a room? And I think they're still sorting people out downstairs.
Yeah. Oregon does not, we have an actual primary here, but you have to be registered with a party and as well. And as an independent, I am trying to figure out if I should do that this year. And if so, which party? Because, you know, I really haven't decided who I'm voting for such. And the GOP appears to need a bunch of help, but that's not where I want to be. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, anyway, I did want to. I'm gonna pop back into the meeting here. Looks like they're about to get started in just a second. So I'll let you guys continue on with the conversation.
Thanks, Mark. You totally backed me up when I was talking about the chaos of election night and how it would be pretty hard to tell the media to cover this precinct first and then that one. It's too much chaos.
Oh, come on, Debbie Lynn. I thought that was a pretty good conspiracy.
The flashlight on my phone that allowed me to walk in dark from a nearby school.
So, right.
You guys have a great rest of your call, and I'll talk with you.
All right, we will. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate you coming on by tonight.
So,
all right, Loki. Well, that was an interesting conversation, unfortunately.
You know, sometimes Mother Nature calls at the very
inopportune times,
wrong moments. So, you know, she doesn't believe in call waiting or call forwarding. But we are doing a special edition of A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. If you would like to join in the conversation, there are several ways you can do so. The first is by calling in to 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495. As well as you can join us in the chat room on wakeupinamerica.com or the chat room over in Coffee Party USA Radio Network on Block Talk Radio. So feel free to do that at any time. And I just want to take a moment and say I really do appreciate the time that you, Debbie Lynn, and you, Robert, are giving for me tonight to be able to do this show on behalf of the regular host, Issa Hodge, and Common Cal. So with that, do we have any new updates, Debbie Lynn?
Yeah, they've actually called Oklahoma on the Democratic side for Sanders with 54% of the precincts, up 57% of the precincts reporting. Sanders is at 52%. Clinton is at 40%. I really want to know where the other 8% is.
They're watching TV.
That's definitely a state called for Sanders. So Sanders has got two tonight that have been called for him. Clinton has six. Still to come, Massachusetts, which is too close to call, Colorado and Minnesota, whose polls are still open.
Okay, so it looks like the polls are actually doing some good. Now, the question is, we're actually not able to hear, or at least I'm not. Debbie Lynn, I know you got a house party going on, at where you're at, I'm not hearing a whole bunch of cheers or boos or anything in the background, so I'm not sure what the reaction actually is.
Well, the party in my house has been delegated to, told to stay in the garage. So that's why we have the quiet background for me. And when I just looked out there during our musical interlude to see what we were doing for dinner, they had the basketball game on.
There you go. Is that the good idea or the bad idea?
My dog might have a few opinions, but other than that, the house party turned into a basketball party.
Well,
there are worse things it could have turned into. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, is the mainstream media, yes, they are reporting numbers, but are they actually reporting the actual truth, or are they reporting what they have been told to report? Did I lose you, Debbie Lynn?
Well, no, I'm just thinking, I'm just trying to think about what's behind your question, because I don't think that a corporate memo was sent down and said, you need to report this. I think they are reporting what they are receiving from the secretaries of state and the county clerk's offices across the Super Tuesday states. When I've watched elections before, I usually, depending on what the scope of the election is, I will be on either the Secretary of State's website or the county website to get the number straight from the source.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come from within the company. To answer your question, that to me is where they're getting their numbers from. I would expect nothing less from our media. And if they are getting it from somewhere else, well, there'll be somebody will tell us.
And that's true. I'm sure that's what they're doing, but I guess my question would be, are the media outsources, yes, they're getting the accurate numbers for the company, but I've also seen, let's take a sports event, a high school game or even a pro basketball game or whatever else. The announcers, when the home team makes a score, the place goes nuts, the announcers go nuts, and everything else. But when the guest team scores, you don't see as much enthusiasm to it to give proper respect to that team. And I just at times wonder if our mainstream media don't play favoritism. I mean, the numbers may be there.
Of course they do. Of course they do. I was having a huge conversation the other night. I think I was watching the debate, and I was watching it on MSNBC, and because I look, Blitzer just drives me crazy when he says the same thing three times. And Fox News just makes me want to throw up because they're so sensational about everything. So I end up at MSNBC, and I'm watching Chris Matthews interview Bernie Sanders. So it was the night of the GOP debate, and they were running an hour-long one-on-one interview between Chris Matthews and Bernie Sanders. And I was on Facebook while I was watching this, and I'm flipping back and forth. And Chris Matthews was acting like Donald Trump to Bernie Sanders, and of course Bernie doesn't take anything from him. And they both talked over each other. It was very tense, and I was writing this in my Facebook post, and somebody pops up and says, well, Chris Matthews' wife is running for office, and the Clintons are supporting her. And I was like,
yeah, the light bulb goes off.
Of course, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, makes perfect sense. So do newscasters have biases? Of course. I appreciate when they're upfront with it, so that I can hear their news and see their filter at the same time and then use my own judgment. That's what's honest. And sportscasters, I think there's a level of professionalism that I expect that people will be as honest as they can be given their bias.
Yes, and I am having headphone issues, so I'm having a hard time listening.
Just to put it this way, I don't know of anybody, you know, who is trying. Let me put it this way. I think it's obvious to all of us when people are doing their job to make themselves more famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of our presidential candidates is doing that. We have the Kardashians. We have, you know, the people on reality TV shows. There's a lot of people who do things just to make themselves famous, and it is, to me, very obvious. And then we have the real professionals who do their job because it's important to do, and they take pride in it, and it's and we find value in the quality of their work versus their celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, when I was actually radio announcing for several different radio companies, one of the things that I was required to do by all the companies that I work for is when we reported the news, whether it be a debate or just a general story of a tragedy or whatever that's going on, the one thing that they required is we set our emotions to the side, but we report all facts and both sides of the story. We don't just feed off of one and forget the other. And I think that's the biggest thing I struggle with today's news reporting in a lot of aspects. And even with these press releases, I don't like calling them debates because they're not a debate anymore. It's just a basic press release that they do, is they don't give you, or you don't always see both sides of the story unless you go out and look for it yourself.
Well, now, see, I always take exception when somebody says they don't tell both sides of the stories. And that's simply because there's more than two sides to every story. Again, that's endemic of the problem. We have two political parties in this country, right? No, we have 36 political parties in this country. Why are we hearing only two sides of the story when there are 36 sides to this story, obviously, or more? There are at least 36 sides, we'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. The debates are no longer debates. They're merely talking points. That's all the candidates do is they get up there and they spew their talking points, and people will applaud, people will boo, you know, and the person who wins is the person who gets the most applause. It's like, okay, seriously.
So, don't you really miss the League of Women Voters debates when the audience was quiet, they were instructed to not respond,
mm-hmm.
and the candidates actually talked to each other?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love those debates.
And things long form. I mean, I look back now and people think of those as being boring, and I look at them with longing for their substance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not supposed to be
the verbal brawling we have now.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be the Jerry Springer show. It's supposed to be presidential debates. This is supposed to be statesmen presenting their ideas, their beliefs, and what their plan for the future of our country is. Not this, mm-hmm. you know, who's your baby mama. That stuff is for, you know, early morning TV or late night TV or however you want to look at it, depending.
Or late afternoon TV with Jerry Springer.
Exactly. It's gotten to the point where it's all about ratings. You know, which candidate can pull in the highest ratings? That's the candidate that's going to get the nod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't see that as appropriate.
I just have to tell you guys, there's a really interesting visual right now. They're waiting for Trump to come in to his press conference, and you can see the visible Secret Service around. And he has 9 United States flags on stage behind his podium, and they are military flags.
All of them?
They have the gold fringe.
All of them. The Admiralty flags.
Are military flags.
Wow.
So that, with the gold fringe, yeah, I just find that to be really interesting, and I'm wondering if that isn't a response to Michael Hayes' comments yesterday.
He's got a Secret Service detail, and he's flying the military banners.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting. That might put a lie to my earlier statement that the GOP won't give him the nod no matter what. Maybe they've already given him the nod. I may just be full of it, not know what I'm talking about.
Well, it could the military flags could be his, you know, his handlers, his campaign people.
Yeah.
You know, trying to stick it to Michael Hayes too. You know, we don't know. I just I have learned to watch for those hidden meaning things, mm-hmm. and that is one of them.
But why does he have a Secret Service detail?
They all do. All the presidential candidates have a Secret Service detail.
Yeah, that's not appropriate.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that Barack Obama did from the moment he announced his candidacy for president
mm-hmm.
in 2007,
mm-hmm.
2000, you know, or early 2008, and that was appropriate because he was in danger of being assassinated.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there were two attempts
on
his
life. That just,
yeah, a lot of people don't know, but there were actually two attempts on his life while he was a candidate.
I want to back you up here just a second, Debbie Lynn, and get both of your comments here. You are paying attention. You noticed that the normal flag wasn't on the podium, but these specialty flags that are only supposed to be used during special events, and I don't know if I would call this mm-hmm. a special event. Yes, it's a debate, it's a press release, whatever.
And military events.
Yeah. But how many of the general public, and it's sad, but how many of the general public nowadays don't even know the difference between the meanings of the flags and why they have what they have on them?
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what the different rules are or what they mean. It seems to me that there's different laws apply depending on which flag is being flown.
Yeah,
it has something to do with that. It's
very confusing, but yeah, in essence, you're correct. Admiralty flags are representative of the Admiralty law. Whereas the flag without the orange or the gold fringe around it is actually a battle flag, so it's very convoluted, and I'm not absolutely clear on it myself. So I'm going to refrain from making too many comments on it because it's just too confusing.
But we can even take it a step farther. How many people actually know what the true American flag is? Is the one
not
we
many
see,
people do.
The one we see on a regular daily basis is actually the battle flag.
Yeah, it's a war flag.
So it
right, and that that goes back to something that I have not yet researched or confirmed that we are. So I have friends from obviously across the political spectrum, and so one of my friends was telling me that we actually entered a state of martial law during the Civil War that has never been rescinded.
I have heard that as well, and I've tried to research that, and I have not come up with anything conclusive on that. So as far as I am concerned, that doesn't hold any merit.
Okay.
You know, I've tried. I've looked all over the place for that, and I cannot find anything valid on it. I've seen lots of conspiracy theories about it, but I have not seen anything that actually proves that that's the case. So, in my opinion, it's not a valid statement.
So, with that, we are actually doing a Super Tuesday special edition show where we are following the polls as they come in. We do know that the polls are closed. Some of the races have been called already. Some of them are still pretty close as to which way it's going to go. So
what hasn't been called yet is Vermont. With 40%, 47% of the precincts reporting, we've got Trump at 33% and Kasich at 31%. So that's not been called one way or the other. Trump is expected to win. In Arkansas, we saw it just as the polls closed, Rubio was a little bit ahead of Trump on that one. Now with 2% of the precincts reporting, Trump has pulled out a 7-point lead of 34 to 27%. The rest of the states, let's just say Donald Trump won a bunch. Cruz has been called for Oklahoma and Texas and still not reporting anything because they're still open are Alaska and Minnesota. Just so everybody understands, Colorado GOP is caucusing later in the month. They did not caucus today, but they did caucus on the Democratic side.
Okay. So
and Alaska, I think, is the Democrats are not caucusing today. They're caucusing later. So far, we have Clinton winning most of the primary states. The exceptions are Oklahoma and Vermont, Bernie's home state of Vermont, where he has won handily. 86% to 13 with 50% of the votes precincts reporting. Massachusetts, they're still not calling yet. 38% of the precincts in Clinton is leading, so 52 to 47, so she's opened that up just a bit.
So Debbie Lynn, let me ask you a question, an analysis question. What do you see America looking like after 8 years of a Clinton presidency? Debbie Lynn, you didn't have a heart attack, did you?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm looking for my crystal ball so I can kind of look into it here and do something besides humor. I see Hillary Clinton as being fairly moderate. She's a little bit more hawkish than I personally prefer, and a little more willing to, you know, stick America's nose into other countries' business. And I think that assuming that the GOP maintains control of Congress, they're going to be just as obstructionist with her as they have been with Obama. So I'm not sure what difference it's going to make to move from Obama to Hillary, because Congress still won't pass any laws, or if they do pass them, she's going to veto them, and it's going to be, I think, another 8 years of
stagnation.
A stagnation or minor advances.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really hard. What I would hope would happen is that regardless of who is elected, that we figure out what the most pressing business for the country is, and we start working on that. To me, the biggest thing over that I've disappointed in over the last 7 years, and will be eight, has been the unwillingness of the GOP and the unwillingness of the president, because from my insider friends that I know in D.C., they actually say Obama is just as bad as the GOP. The unwillingness to come up with a third way, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two brick walls facing each other, and the American public is in between them getting squished.
The irresistible force and the immovable object.
Mm-hmm.
So let me...
And so it's...
Go ahead. No, finish your statement, and I will pose another question to both of you.
Yeah, well, I think this is what I find appealing about the idea of a political revolution and people actually getting more involved and actually standing up in their power as citizens instead of receiving the political system as entertainment. That's what I hope for and am working for every single day. So that we actually put the power, you know, so that we wake up to the fact that we have the power and we take it back and elect people who will work together on the pressing business of the country. I'm complete now, Loki.
And you, I mean, you're totally right. What, and this question is for both of you, what are, let's say, the top two things that we actually need to fix in the United States, or that need to be fixed before we can actually make any changes?
Debbie Lynn, you can go ahead and go first on that one.
No, I talk last. It's your turn, Robert. Top two things that need... I don't know that only two things need to be fixed. I mean, obviously, citizen engagement needs to be more... needs to be there and more substantial. Before citizens can be engaged, they actually need to know what our system is. And having had our civics education, we moved from high school, and middle school has been huge, huge impact in people not even knowing about the three branches of government and what they're all supposed to do, and what the concept is of this checks and balances, so that no one branch of our government gains too much power. So civics education in schools needs to be there. Better citizen engagement. Stop being entertained by this and start actually doing, we need to start doing our job as citizens. So that was three things.
Okay, fair enough. you overshot by 33%. That's, or by 50%. That's actually very good. So, I actually agree with you on the one on the one citizen engagement. And as Loki knows, I'm a big proponent of local politics. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I believe that's where the change in this country is going to happen, is on the local level. The national level has become so corrupted at every level, and it's so deep that there is no fixing it at this point. It's broken beyond repair. We have to just recognize that's the case and fix things at the local level. Start at your county level. Get your county commissioners in line. Get your county representatives, your city halls, get them in line. Get honest people who understand their constituents and what their constituents need. Get those people elected to those positions and deal with local issues first, and not worry about the national issues at this point. And what I mean by that isn't don't pay attention to Washington, because obviously we have to, because Washington is screwing things up and we have to be able to fix it when they screw it up. But what I'm saying is we need more local involvement on the city and county level. The next thing is we then got to go fix the state level. I was recently in a gas station filling up with gas, and I was reading a newspaper that was in there, and I had to laugh while I was reading the newspaper, because the article basically stated that both the Republicans and the Democrats were crying because they weren't able to get anything accomplished in the legislative session this year. And I just started laughing, and the cashier wanted to know what was going on. And I explained to her, you know, why I was laughing. And I said, did you realize that this is the second legislative assembly where not one bill or measure was brought forward that does anything for jobs in this state that desperately needs jobs? Not one thing was done for that. Now, there are 1,000 measures that tell us all the new things that we can no longer do. They're all more than happy to tell us what we can't do anymore. But not one of them has put forth anything that is going to help jobs in this state. That is unacceptable. We need to start electing people to our state house who are going to put the needs of the people first, not the needs of their own egos. Prozanski fella. The only reason he's putting forth the bills that he's putting forth is so that he can get his name in the history books. Other than that, he doesn't really care. He's not concerned with jobs. Now, I know that I'm speaking specifically of Oregon, but I am very aware that this is a problem in most of the states of the Republic. They are all facing very similar situations where the states have wrested control from the counties, and the feds are trying to wrest control from the states. And it's a problem that needs to be dealt with, but it can only be dealt with at the local level when the people remember that the power rests with them. The power does not rest with the politicians. It does not rest in Washington, D.C. It does not rest in the state houses. It rests in each person's living room where you have your conversations. What a segue. God, I'm good. Go ahead, Debbie Lynn. That was supposed to be a segue for you.
Well, I want to just report a couple of things about Super Tuesday right now. Donald Trump is holding a press conference instead of a victory rally. with his Admiralty flags, and Chris Christie is being his right-hand man and standing right beside him.
Uh-huh.
So I'm betting that Christie's trading this for a vice presidential nomination.
Or a big man.
That's just my own prediction. And the other update is that the Colorado is starting to report on the Democratic caucuses, where Clinton is leading Sanders 48% to 46% with less than 1% of the precincts reporting.
Hmm.
Interesting. So we are getting ready.
And Minnesota is still outstanding. Yeah.
We are getting down to the end of the show. And usually this is a time that I'm actually doing the Idiot of the Week story, and there's usually plenty of them out there. But this has actually been in such a good show, and I'm actually not the producer. And we've had fun, we've had some humor involved in it, but we've actually also reported the facts, reported what is actually out there and what people actually need to be paying attention to. So at this time, Debbie Lynn, I'm going to actually give you some time to actually promote your inner workings, because I know you do a lot with your Living Room Conversations and the other organizations that you're involved in to help bring our education system, help the younger generation actually understand what communication is and the different aspects of things. So would you take a few moments and share that with us?
So Living Room Conversations, we get to replace your Idiot of the Week segment. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. No.
That's okay. I just think it's...
Well, most of the time, most recently...
Thank you for the time, Loki, because Living Room Conversations is a really simple, beautiful process where you invite one of your friends who has a different perspective on some issue, or that you're just curious about what their perspective is on the American dream, let's say, or beliefs and lifestyles. You know, that's a new topic we're going to create. There's over 25 of these topics on livingroomconversations.org. But you and your friend get together and you decide to host a Living Room Conversation, and you can have food and, you know, beverages, adult beverages if you want. And you each invite two more friends. So you get six people in a living room or at a dining room table or at a coffee shop, wherever you want to do that. And you just follow these easy-to-use guidelines. And we have actually have six conversation guidelines, and then you each take turns and go through and answer questions with the group. And the beautiful thing about it is that you learn so much more that you didn't know about the people that you thought you knew. And it is, we had one group that did this conversation, and I remember the host called us back afterwards, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, you didn't tell me how wonderful this was. I feel so connected to these people. We're going to write a book." That's not the outcome from every conversation, but he just was so inspired by the quality and the meaningfulness of the conversation that they had that he's doing it again. And we have many people who do multiple conversations. And so I really invite people to check it out. It's livingroomconversations.org. Treat yourself to a 2 to 3 hour conversation that means something and is more substantive than our current political season. And Loki, I'm going to pause there and turn it back to you.
You know, I actually work with you and help you with that. It is a wonderful thing. And the questions that always come up from those discussions that people have are amazing. And they're things that I wouldn't necessarily have thought of. But the biggest issue that we try to solve is Living Room Conversation gives you the tool to have the conversation. But it's actually up to us as individuals, once that conversation is done, to actually do something with it. And I think that getting it back into, and I believe Joan's really working hard with it, getting it back into the school system of This is an actual easy concept, but to get people involved and keep them involved is the awesome goal that you guys are achieving.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, I think forgot you wanted me to talk specifically about that program. We designed a conversation called Relationship Matters, and we took it into a middle school in Berkeley, California, and had the three different classes of middle schools try this conversation. And they were so excited to talk with each other about stuff that mattered to them. And about how do we actually get to know each other. It was talking about, you know, our relationships themselves and why they're so important and what happens and kind of what are our origin stories in our family, how do we handle stress and conflict. And it really helped people to see that, like, growing up, you know, we kind of think that however, like, for instance, in my family, when I grew up, conflict was bad, and if I got mad at somebody, it meant the relationship ended. So anger was, like, disallowed in my family of origin. And if I had had some kids to talk with about that in school, I would have learned that there's other ways. Other families have different rules about that stuff, and it would have opened up my world much earlier than I opened up myself. Mm-hmm. It was a fabulous thing. So we're trying to spread that to a bunch of other schools. And then another conversation that we're trying to get into schools is on voting and youth voting and how important it is to find a group of friends and support each other to learn the stuff that you're not learning in schools.
And so,
those are two of our programs.
I want to commend you on what you and Joan are accomplishing and everything that you do to help educate each and every one of us that live in this world. With that, we are winding down. Robert, do you have any closing comments?
I just would like to say thank you very much for allowing me to bring my perspective to your show tonight. It's been a blast, and as always, I really, truly enjoy working with you.
Once again, thank you, Debbie Lynn. Thank you, Robert, for being here tonight for this special Super Tuesday, a Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America special edition show. Cal and Issa will be back next week to carry on with their education as well as their humor. Hope everybody enjoys, and as always, be happy, healthy, and safe, and we love you all no matter what.